Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
I'm tracking a wetter pattern that's going to start to bring us rain late tonight and into tomorrow. It won't end until Friday night and could include some severe storms. I'll show you all of that.
Plus, leaders in North Carolina and Denmark reach an ambitious agreement. How the collaboration could have a huge economic and environmental impact.
Also, pandemic SNAP benefits are coming to an end for millions of Americans. Why food banks and pantries say they are bracing for a spike in need.
Well, you can see those clouds increasing here across our area this afternoon as our next storm system approaches. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Rain arrives overnight and we are in for a wet morning commute tomorrow. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center to help you plan for this and a look at when storms could become severe.
Right now, everything is quiet, but we've had a lot of cloud cover develop from the Triangle area northward. Some of our southern towns are seeing a lot more sunshine. There's a little bit of filtered sunshine here in Apex, and it's not stopping anyone from getting out and about down Salem Street. Here's a look at the high-resolution satellite, and you can see just some high clouds from Goldsboro to Fayetteville back around the Sandhills, but from Raleigh northward up toward Virginia, we have more thick clouds in place. Here's the rain that's coming our way. We can start to see some rain down here across parts of Texas, moving across the Mississippi Valley. There's been a little bit of severe weather in Texas already today. Here's a look at futurecast for us. We'll continue to see some clearing down south, but generally the clouds will continue to be fairly thick in places and really thicken up as we get closer to tomorrow morning. We'll pause it there at 6 a.m. A lot of rain here, possibly a few rumbles of thunder even, but we're not looking at severe storms tomorrow morning. It's likely to be rainier early, and by 8 or 9 o'clock it starts to taper off. It's on the drier side around lunchtime, but we'll see some more waves of rain moving in on Thursday night and then into Friday morning. Now, Friday evening, we're going to see a front that comes through, and with that front, that's when we'll have the best chance of severe storms. So we have a level one risk around the Triangle area, and then southwest in the Sandhills, it's a level two risk. And we're going to go over the timeline for Friday, but it definitely looks like it would be after the evening commute. We'll also talk about how much rain we could see over the 2 days coming up.
Just announced this morning, an offshore wind energy agreement between North Carolina and Denmark. WRAL climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin has been following these developments and has details on how it could impact our state. Liz.
Yeah, Jeff, this is an agreement between the North Carolina Department of Commerce behind me and the Danish Energy Agency. It's a partnership and collaboration to share best practices and expertise for the purpose of offshore wind development. Now, this is a big deal because Denmark is a pioneer in this space. They started the first offshore wind in 1991, and they've already transitioned from fossil fuels to 70% of their energy generation from renewables. About half of that is from wind alone. So that expertise will certainly be valuable as North Carolina has its own ambitious goals to cut emissions in the energy sector. Now, Commerce Secretary Michelle Baker Sanders said this morning at the announcement that North Carolina is developing three sites more than 20 miles off the coast for this offshore wind development and is hoping to bring a lot of not only environmental but economic growth to the area as well. Let's listen.
The offshore wind energy and its supply chain represent a potential of $100 billion in economic investments across North Carolina, tens of thousands of family-sustaining jobs for North Carolinians, and clean renewable energy to power hundreds of thousands of North Carolina homes and businesses. And
North Carolina is poised to be a leader in this space because of the long shoreline, central location, consistent wind, and the workforce to support this growing industry. Nearly a half a million manufacturing employees in the state already. Now, Governor Roy Cooper has an ambitious goal to reach 8 gigawatts of offshore wind energy generation by 2040. That equates to powering more than 2 million homes here. Live in Raleigh, I'm Liz McLaughlin. Jeff, back to you.
All right, Liz, thanks for the breakdown.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are staying on top of that breaking news out of Greece after 36 people were killed and dozens were injured after a passenger train carrying more than 350 people collided with a freight train. This is a live look at the scene right now. You can see workers there. Obviously, it is later in the evening. Tents are set up at the site, but I want to show you what this all looked like earlier today. Greece's prime minister vowing to find out what caused this collision. He says, one thing I can guarantee, we will find out the causes of this tragedy and do everything in our power to make sure this never happens again. Also this afternoon, we're learning Greek authorities have arrested the station manager of a train station in the city of Larissa. That is where the crash, near where that crash happened. Also, Greece's transport minister announced his resignation earlier today, saying the railway system in Greece is not up to 21st century standards. Our efforts have not been sufficient enough to prevent such a bad incident.
It was a terrible one, Michelle. Thanks. Norfolk Southern Railroad CEO is expected to testify next week before a Senate committee about the Ohio train derailment. The Senate's Environment and Public Works Committee is expected to hold an oversight hearing on the toxic train derailment this month. Meanwhile, Republicans are gearing up for an investigation in the House aimed directly at the Biden administration's response to the crisis.
Local food pantries are preparing for a surge in demand. That's because of financial benefit that's helped hundreds of thousands of people in North Carolina feed their families ends today. WRL's Nye Harden is at the Interfaith Food Shuttle in Raleigh with how you can help.
Organizations just like this one starting today are expecting to see more people. And this is all as families enrolled in the federal supplemental nutrition assistance program will lose at least $95 per month. This is part of the additional money families received during the pandemic. Barbara Morales-Burke with Interfaith Food Shuttle says they've already seen an increase in the need for food. And while they don't know how much more will be needed, she says they are ready to meet the demand.
We're going to be listening to what we hear from those partner agencies. We're going to listen to them about what kind of change they're seeing in the level of need and what those specific needs are. And then as our resources permit, we'll do our best to fill them. But what we do can only be done with the support of the community.
And there are several food assistance programs that are available, those options on our website, WREL.com, as well as the news app. And you can learn how to donate. Nye Harden, WREL News in Raleigh.
We should note food benefits for children affected by COVID in North Carolina are not leaving yet. The state's Department of Health and Human Services just got approval to continue its Pandemic Electronic Benefits Program, or PEBT. That program helps eligible kids who cannot access meals at school or in childcare because of COVID-related absences or closures. With this extension, PEBT will last until May 11th. That's when state leaders decided that will be the end of the pandemic health emergency.
We are working to learn the name of the woman who was shot and killed in a Durham hotel. A man was also wounded in that incident. It happened just before 11 at the Extended Stay America on NC-55. The man who was shot is expected to survive. Police have not named a suspect or a motive. And out of Sampson County, where charges are pending after a serious crash there, two people are in the hospital. This was the scene when the WRL breaking news tracker arrived along U.S. 13 at Alex Benton Road last night. The cause of the crash has not been released, and we're also waiting for the names of the victims.
Pharmaceutical company Eli Lilly is capping the out-of-pocket cost of insulin at $35. Starting May 1st, the pharmaceutical giant will sell its non-branded insulin to $25 a vial, the current price, $82 a vial. The CDC says 37 million adults in the U.S. are diabetic. North Carolina is one step closer to making medical marijuana legal. The state Senate passed a legalization bill with bipartisan support. The measure still needs to pass another vote today before it heads to the House. A similar bill did not make it past the House last time. Supporters have higher hopes this time. The bill's lead sponsor, a Republican, recently said he believes there's more support this time around. North Carolina is one of a small number of states yet to legalize medical marijuana.
Twitter is updating its policy on violent speech to expand restrictions on coded language and some threats. Twitter's violent speech was vaguely defined when it updated the policy in 2019. The new rules ban encouragement of war crimes, genocide, or crimes against humanity, as well as the use of dog whistles in speech to evade detection and enforcement. Twitter can immediately or permanently suspend a user's account for violating the policy.
A majority of Americans are worried about their tax refunds this year. A new report from Bankrate finds nearly 70% of those who expect to receive a refund are concerned it won't make as much of an impact due to inflation and rising costs, or will be smaller than usual. They also worry their refunds will be delayed. About 75% say the money is important to their overall financial situation. The top plans for refunds are to pay down debt, boost savings, or use most or all to pay for daily expenses. The ACC Women's College Basketball Tournament gets started this afternoon in Greensboro. Our teams from the Triangle will start playing tomorrow. NC State will play Syracuse at 2 in the afternoon. UNC will play at 6 p.m. against the winner of today's game between Clemson and Pitt. Duke will play its first game Friday night at 6 against the winner of that game.
It is March Madness. It's on. Coming up next at noon, money from a local charity is providing mental health assistance for first responders. How Holly Springs is using it in a unique way. We'll talk live with the chief of police.
Also, TikTok is on the clock. The steps the app is taking to prevent teens from endlessly scrolling through social media.
Plus, tens of thousands of people, including children, died from fentanyl overdoses in 2021. How lawmakers are examining the illegal flow of the drug into the U.S.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Social workers will soon be helping law enforcement handle mental health crisis calls in Orange County. The county recently got a $1.2 million grant from the state. It plans to use the money to pay for one social worker position each for the Sheriff's Office and Carrboro, Chapel Hill, and Hillsborough Police Departments. New positions are also coming to the Criminal Justice Resource Department and at Freedom House Recovery Center in Chapel Hill. Meanwhile, Holly Springs Police and Fire received money from a recent charity golf outing benefiting the heroes of that community, the first responders. Joining us now is Holly Springs Police Chief Paul LaCoury. With what's being done with that money, Chief, I want to thank you for joining us this noon. I know you're busy. You could have put that money anywhere, but you decided to put it towards the mental health of your employees. What went into that decision, and tell me what that program looks like?
Well, again, I think first responders are often confronted with a number of critical incidents that they're exposed to, be it fatal collisions, child abuse and exploitation, or even death investigations. And most recently here in Wake County, we've just lost 3 law enforcement officers in just over a year. So that very much played into the decision to expand our efforts to make sure the wellness of our officers.
What's the feedback been like in the early stages of this?
Well, again, we've had a number of officers who have taken advantage of the program. We also mandatorily make some of the officers go to some counseling after they're exposed to a critical incident. And the feedback has overwhelmingly been positive, that they feel that they've been relieved that they can get this counseling that is specifically tailored to first responders.
Just a week or so ago, your department assisted on a hostage situation with some mental health implications. What's your level of concern in going out on those calls, and can this initiative help to better prepare those who are out in the field?
I think it can. As you saw with that most recent incident and some of the ones that I've mentioned earlier that we do on a more regular basis, that can have a cumulative effect on the officers, and even for our telecommunicators or dispatchers, it can have what they call a vicarious effect, even though they're not directly exposed to it. Just hearing the calls or talking to a victim who's in crisis can have an effect on someone as well.
Can it help in situations when use of force is being considered?
The studies have really been very positive in terms of making sure that we maintain the wellness of our officers. Not only will they make better decisions, they'll have improved outcomes with the people that they're helping. And that includes uses of force in their decision making.
The donation from the golf tournament caught the eye of town council there in Holly Springs. What did they do?
The town council, we came back, we piloted this initiative with the funding from the golf tournament. We then went back to the council, who recognizes the importance of this and first responders and public safety in general. And they decided to then fund the program in full after a result. So I'm very thankful for the support of the town council as well.
I know there's also been some valuable collaboration with other departments on this topic. What's that been like?
That's been really remarkable. Throughout the region here in Wake County and just surrounding areas, we have what's called the Law Enforcement Assistance Program, or LEAP program, where we take specially trained peer support team officers that go out and help other officers work through the events after a critical incident, and just help them debrief and just calm down after an incident and just be there for them and hopefully counsel them through that. And it's all confidential. And because they're talking to a peer, they have better results as well.
Really valuable resources there. Holly Springs Police Chief Paul LaCorey, we appreciate your insight on this. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
What an important shift that the readiness of police officers now includes mental health wellness. Right now, you can drink alcohol on the streets of Garner, but only in designated areas. A new downtown social district started about 15 minutes ago. It will be open from noon until 10 each night, except Sunday, when it will end at 5 p.m. There will be signs showing you the entrance and exits to the social district. Raleigh, Durham, and Fayetteville already have social districts like this. Falcon 9 is clear for takeoff. SpaceX and NASA are set to launch a joint mission to the International Space Station just after midnight. The first attempt for the Crew 6 team on Monday was scrubbed minutes before blastoff. A clogged ground filter caused the faulty reading. The issue has now been fixed. The new launch is scheduled for 12:34 a.m., weather permitting. Hopefully no more technical glitches.
Yeah, exactly. It's the first time that it wasn't weather. You know, it was a technical glitch, but hopefully they get that cleared up. I don't know. You can take off into the clouds, I guess. That's safe enough. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center. There's a little bit of blue skies there down in the sand hills.
Yeah, down around Sanford, south and west, we just have some high thin clouds. So you can definitely see some shadows from the buildings here as we look through downtown. But we're not seeing clear skies like we did yesterday. Yesterday was so pretty. And the cloud cover and the wind coming out of the northeast is keeping our temperatures down this morning, too. It's 54 still in Roxboro, 53 in South Hill, 60 in Durham and Raleigh, 65 in Rocky Mount. But look down to the south where we're seeing more sunshine and less of that northeasterly flow. 74 right now in Clinton, 69 in Fayetteville, it's 62 in Southern Pines. Definitely a wide range in our temperatures. Looking at the potential for climbing into the mid to upper 70s down south, probably going to end up in the upper 60s to low 70s though around the Triangle area and the mid 60s up near the Virginia line. So definitely looking at a cooler day than we saw yesterday when we hit 79. What is normal this time of year? Of course, we had a very warm January and February. We ended up with the warmest winter on record at RDU since 1945. Typically today, March 1st, we see a normal low of 37 and a high of 59. So our temperatures, even though they may be a little cooler, are still going to be well above normal. By the end of the month, we usually see some warming. The normal low is 44 and the normal high is 68. And the average precipitation is about 4 inches. What we don't normally see this time of year is this much pollen already. Our tree pollen is high, pine, elm, cedar, oak, and birch, and we'll continue to see that most likely now for a while. Typically, that yellow pine pollen that makes such a mess everywhere lasts for about 3 weeks. And then tree pollen typically declines mid to late April. Of course, this is March 1st. That's a long time from now. And yes, we are likely to have a pollen season that's more than 3 weeks. Once we see the tree pollen decline, we tend to see an increase in grass and weed pollen. So the pollen season lasts almost all spring. Okay, but what about this tree pollen? Back in 2017, we had a big warm up in February, and we saw some of that tree pollen, some of that yellow pine pollen starting to increase in February. But then we cooled down some in March, and the number of pollen particles really decreased on and off. When it got warm, they increased, and when it got cool, they decreased. And then it peaked in April, like it normally does, and then tapered off. Well, we are looking at a big cool down potentially in the middle of March. So we may see a break from some of that pollen, but we may see a much longer period of it than we normally do. Again, it's high today, but we should get a break on Thursday and Friday as we see more rain moving in, and that tends to decrease the amount of pollen in the atmosphere. It's going to be a wet start tomorrow morning, as we talked about, a bit of a break midday, and then we start to see that rain redeveloping as we get into the afternoon and evening. But our best chance of thunderstorms is going to be Friday evening after after 5 or 6 o'clock. I'll show you the timeline for the front coming through, and we'll look at our severe weather threats again. After that, over the weekend, it's looking pretty nice. Temperatures a little more seasonal, but we'll see plenty of sunshine Saturday and Sunday.
Thanks, Elizabeth. TikTok is making an aggressive move to prevent teens from endlessly scrolling for content, but it's not a complete failsafe.
Plus, you might not view paintings the same way again. Later, we'll show you how an artificial intelligence-powered robot is changing the way art is created. Welcome back. You're looking live at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park. A lot of cloud cover out there. It looks like it's going to rain, but we won't see rain until starting the overnight hours and into tomorrow morning. You're watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Get ready to enjoy AMC Theater popcorn right in your home and a big recall from Nissan. Those are among today's business headlines with Aaron Rael.
Nissan is recalling more than 700,000 Rogue SUVs due to an issue with the key fob that could potentially cause the vehicle to shut off. The key flips out from inside the fob like a jackknife, and over time, the piece that pivots may weaken and collapse. If the fob collapses and is bumped while in the ignition, it may cause the car to be turned off accidentally. Some Rogue models from 2014 to 2020 and certain Rogue Sport models from 2017 to 2022 are affected by the recall. Nissan is working on a remedy. In the meantime, it recommends not adding heavy keychains or accessories to the fob. Entenmann's is bringing back its iconic packaging with a cellophane window. The packaging was temporarily changed after the company's Valley Forge, Pennsylvania factory was damaged by flooding from Hurricane Ida. That September 2021 storm destroyed 5,000 tons of packaging inventory and damaged the machinery that produces the boxes and cartons. The temporary solution, Entenmann's used a picture of the product on its baked goods. Now the cellophane window is back, giving you a look at the sweets inside those classic blue and white boxes. And you'll soon be able to enjoy AMC's popcorn right in your home. The theater chain is launching a line of both ready-to-eat and microwavable popcorn. The snacks will be sold exclusively through Walmart's. In some Walmart stores, the AMC popcorn will be on shelves as soon as March 11th, just in time for the Oscars the following night. The popcorn rolls out to thousands of more Walmarts in April and on Walmart.com. And those are your business headlines. I'm Aaron Rael at the NASDAQ MarketSite.
Parents may soon be dealing with some kids looking for something to do after a recent announcement from TikTok. TikTok, known for its infamous For You page, constantly uploading videos, different ones to a person's social media page. Now, the company is saying that it will be limiting anyone under the age of 18 to 1 hour of screen time. The feature can be turned off in the setting of the app, but will the user have to put a password in to override the restriction if they spend more than 100 minutes a day on that social media site? Hundreds of attorneys are volunteering their time to give you free legal information. WRL and Five on Your Side's Attorneys on Call is this Friday from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. When the phone lines open, you call this number on your screen, 919-891-9779, to connect to one of hundreds of volunteer lawyers. Thousands of people call in during this event every year. It's a big deal. Organize your information now and call WRL's Attorneys on Call Friday.
The fentanyl crisis is the focus of a discussion today on Capitol Hill, how the pervasive street drug is getting into the U.S. and what lawmakers want to do about that.
And also ahead, why Wake school leaders say metal detectors are not part of their plan to keep schools safe. Here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A House Judiciary subcommittee is addressing the fentanyl crisis with a hearing on Capitol Hill. Madeline Rivera shares the emotional and impassioned testimony.
We are grieving parents walking through an unimaginable experience.
An emotional hearing on Capitol Hill as Congress takes on one of its toughest challenges yet, trying to stop the flow of deadly fentanyl coming into the U.S.
Logan was found dead in his dorm room at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. In his freshman year, his toxicology report showed three different forms of fentanyl.
Fentanyl is now the leading cause of death among people 18 to 45 years old. The synthetic opioid is up to 50 times stronger than heroin and 100 times stronger than morphine.
Fentanyls are so toxic and lethal that they can be classified and actually have been used as chemical weapons. One teaspoon can kill 2,000 people. That is the amount that's in this packet of sugar.
The FBI says Mexican criminal organizations are mainly to blame for smuggling fentanyl into the country. Border Patrol officers in the San Diego sector seized 232 pounds of fentanyl, enough to potentially kill more than 50 million people.
This is a threat that's not just across the border. That fentanyl is hitting streets all over the United States.
Lawmakers are calling for more resources at the border as the epidemic raises bipartisan alarm.
We need to act together to stop this scourge.
We must stop the loss of life from this deadly and terrible plague.
That was Madeline Rivera reporting. Opioid addiction is among the top concerns for voters, along with inflation and crime.
State Republican leaders are gathering today to call for a second constitutional convention. Former presidential candidate Rick Santorum will join House Speaker Tim Moore and other GOP lawmakers for a news conference today. A group of House Republicans, including Moore, is calling for a constitutional convention to add congressional term limits to the U.S. Constitution. 34 states would have to vote to make a convention happen. North Carolina voters could get another chance to repeal a Jim Crow-era voter test from the state's constitution. A bill to remove a literacy test for voters has its first hearing in the House Judiciary Committee today. It would put an amendment on the ballot next year to get rid of a literacy requirement for voters, which dates back to 1899. The requirement is already unenforceable because of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. An amendment to remove it from the state constitution was last on the ballot in 1970 when voters rejected it.
A standoff following an officer-involved shooting in Kansas City leaves three officers with non-life-threatening injuries. Police say it all unfolded last night after the officers were serving a search warrant inside a home. They were struck by gunfire as they tried to enter, and police shot back in return. After the shooting, police remained in a standoff for hours at that home. The police chief says the officers are expected to survive their injuries.
Those officers self-transported themselves to a local hospital where they're here now, and they are in non-life-threatening condition. So that's the best situation that under these circumstances that I can hope for, is that our officers are alert, they're awake, and they're talking.
So far, there are no suspects in custody. The Kansas City mayor issued this statement on Twitter. "We've been reminded too much lately in Kansas City how dangerous police work can be. I am praying for a full recovery for our three officers injured." Missouri State Highway Patrol are now handling the investigation.
Wake County is making it clear metal detectors are not part of a district-wide plan to make schools safer. District leaders are facing mounting pressure from parents to address safety. There have been five guns found at five different schools in the last 4 months. That's on top of a growing number of social media threats and school lockdowns. The school system has identified five recommendations for physical security upgrades at schools, but they're keeping those under wraps for now.
I can't really tell you what's in the assessment, but I'm going to tell you what's not in the assessment. Metal detectors and or weapon detection systems are not in the assessment.
Here's why they say security experts have told WRAL metal detectors can catch some weapons, but they're very expensive and unlikely to stop a school shooting. Later this year, Wake County will install new check-in systems at all schools that screen visitors more carefully.
Affirming black and brown beauty. Up next, how a Triangle school system is celebrating natural hair to promote understanding, inspired by one high school athlete's experience.
And a little later, art in the future may come from robots. Why creators say AI art is still very much art. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRL News app.
This week, students in Durham are focusing on an issue many don't have to think about: hair. It's all a part of Crown Act Week, which brings awareness to discrimination based on hair. WRL's Destiny Patterson sat down with a Hillside High student who made national news after she was forced to cut off her braids.
It's Crown Act week here for Durham Public Schools, and inside of these doors, students are talking about mainstream beauty standards and the loving any and all hair textures. I talked to a Hillside student who says that she's glad that her experiences have been a catalyst for change.
I would hope that what I went through, what other people went through, really made people want to act different.
Nicole Biles is getting ready to graduate from Hillside High School. But it wasn't too long ago when she was forced to cut her braids during a softball game and made national headlines because of it.
I really went through that, and like to see that some places don't want to make change, some places are making change.
Like Durham Public Schools, where they're celebrating Crown Act Week.
These spaces are important, not only for our students now, but as they grow.
The Crown Act stands for Create a Respectful and Open Workplace for Natural Hair. It's a law that prohibits race-based hair discrimination. So far, 20 states have put the law in place.
We want to make sure that we create, that we cultivate spaces where our black and brown students are able to be in a place where their identities are affirmed, specifically their hair.
Twists and locks and all of that. It's fun. It's really nice. I enjoy it. But at the end of the day, like I said before, you kind of wish you wouldn't have to do those things to make people feel included, because people should feel included regardless. But you need representation.
While Pyle says more work can be done, her dad is already proud of what she's accomplished so far.
I think I raised her right to be a strong, young, independent lady.
The district has several events as well as a Spirit Week planned. You can find more information on that on WREL.com. Destiny Patterson, WREL News, Durham.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Jalen Carter, star University of Georgia defensive lineman who is considered a top pick in the upcoming NFL draft, now faces charges in connection to a fatal crash back in January. Carter is now facing charges of reckless driving and racing in connection to that crash that killed his teammate Devin Willock and team employee Chandler LaCroix on January 15th. This all happening hours after the Georgia Bulldogs won the national championship. Authorities are saying they believe alcohol is a factor in the crash, as well as racing, reckless driving, and speed. Georgia's head football coach has spoken out on this, saying the charges are deeply concerning, especially as we are still struggling to cope with the devastating loss of two beloved members of our community.
Los Angeles County has agreed to pay Vanessa Bryant nearly $30 million to settle a lawsuit over photos from a crash that killed Kobe and one of his daughters and seven other people. The settlement ends a long legal battle over the graphic photographs shared by sheriff's deputies following the deadly helicopter crash in 2020. In August of 2022, a federal jury awarded $31 million in damages to Bryant and her co-plaintiff, who lost his wife and daughter in the crash.
The Today Show finally addressed why anchor Hoda Kotb has been off the show for nearly 2 weeks. Craig Melvin told viewers this morning that Hoda is dealing with a family health matter. Her last appearance on the show was February 17th. Hoda's co-anchor Savannah Guthrie has also been off the broadcast. She is out with COVID. Their colleagues say they hope to see Hoda and Savannah back in the studio soon. First smartwatches, now smart glasses. Meta is now taking on eyewear. Coming up, we'll tell you how the glasses work.
Plus, could it be the artist of the future? A robot named after a famous Mexican painter is now creating beautiful images. We'll explain how it works.
iMessaging might become easier for Windows users. Microsoft's iPhone Link app will now let users send texts through iMessage on their Windows devices. Along with texts, you can make calls and see your iPhone's notifications. There are limitations, though. Users can't message pictures, be a part of group texts, or see full message history. Microsoft's iPhone Link app works through a Bluetooth connection from the phone to the Windows system. Meta plans to launch its first pair of smart glasses with a display in 2025, along with a smartwatch to control them. The Verge reports the display is designed to view incoming texts, scan QR codes, and translate messages to other languages in real time. Users may be able to control the glasses with hand movements and eventually type messages with a virtual keyboard.
A robot named after famous Mexican painter Frida Kahlo is ushering in a new age of art. Marianne Rafferty takes a look at how the device is using artificial intelligence to create stunning masterpieces.
The future of art is evolving, with a robot powered by artificial intelligence collaborating with human artists to create awe-inspiring paintings.
No.
Meet Frida. At first glance, it might look like nothing more than a metal arm with a paintbrush at the end. But engineers at Carnegie Mellon University's Robotics Institute say Frida is accomplishing so much more.
This is a platform to look at how robots can use imprecise tools. Because these days, a lot of what we automate is really, really precise. But painting is not.
Staff provide Frida with a concept of a painting they want it to make. Using artificial intelligence, Frida creates a color palette for the image. A worker then mixes the necessary paints, and Frida gets to work.
Frida is using the kind of AI models that have been developed to do things like caption images and understand scene content, and applying it to this artistic generative problem.
But for critics who say Frida isn't making real art, faculty argue,
we understand how Frida works. It's juggling numbers in tables, and those numbers were derived from large collections of images and words. So therefore, there can't be any room for artistic expression. What does an artist do but distill some subset of the zeitgeist, distill some subset of what people around them are saying and doing, and turn that into an expression? And in which case, that's exactly what Frida is doing.
It's pretty neat, actually. Marianne Rafferty reporting, just like people, Frida can make mistakes. And like human artists, mm-hmm. Frida will incorporate the imperfection into the overall painting.
You know, at what point does our reaction go from how cool is that to how scary is that? Because Frida starts painting things, and then all of a sudden Frida's taken over a lot of other things. I'm telling you.
I know.
This is the beginning of the trend.
It's coming. We can paint a gray backdrop here. That'd be easy enough.
Yeah, this is just the camera showing us our view. Also, a little bit of technology. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center showing us a lot more cloud cover today than yesterday.
Definitely. And our temperatures are slower to warm up because of it as well. Our high yesterday was 79. Probably not going to get that warm this afternoon, but it's still going to be pleasant. We're seeing a little more sunshine the farther south you go. And even around, say, Apex, Chapel Hill, and Durham, we're seeing a little bit of sun trying to peek through some high, thin cloud cover. But it's a little bit brighter down in Goldsboro. Again, the farther south you go, the brighter things appear. But we're definitely seeing more and more cloud cover filtering in across our area as our next system arrives. This is another look at our high-resolution satellite. And notice how it really looks like it's clearing from Raleigh to Goldsboro down toward Fayetteville. But you can see the clouds continuing to stream in from the west. And those are just some high, thin clouds, but they are making it still feel and even look a little bit gray. The clouds are a lot thicker up toward the Virginia line, especially north and east of the triangle. But those clouds are eroding pretty quickly. We do have some showers that have started to develop down south across parts of Texas and Oklahoma back over toward Arkansas. A little bit of severe weather popped up in that area already, but there's much more of that to come, especially tomorrow. That area is going to go under a level 4 risk for severe storms, which is something that we don't see every day, that's for sure. Future casts for us, we're going to continue to see increasing clouds through the afternoon, maybe a quick sprinkle down to the south, and then the rain begins after midnight. You can see here's 2 a.m. We'll push it ahead. It's going to be a wet night tonight, a wet start to the day. Here's 6 a.m. And notice the darker colors, the yellows and the reds. We could have a rumble of thunder in some of this area, but we're not likely to see anything severe. That rain moves out between, say, 7, 8, 9 o'clock. So if you're not headed out until 8 or 9, the roads will probably be wet, but the rain may not be as heavy. At lunchtime, it's dry, but we see rain rolling back in during the afternoon, and then it just continues overnight, Thursday night into Friday. Oh, this is a brand new update here. You can see today they updated to level 3 risk across the Mississippi Valley back over toward Texas. Earlier that was a level 2 risk, and there's that level 4 risk for tomorrow. Big tornado threat across parts of the deep south there with that level 4 risk. For us on Friday, we're going to see that cold front swinging through during the evening hours. It's likely to be after dinner time. We have that level 1 risk here in the Triangle area, and then in our far southwestern counties, it's a level 2 risk for the chance for some scattered thunderstorms, possibly an isolated tornado. How much rain out of this? We'll likely average about half an inch to an inch of rain between Thursday and Friday combined. And then once we get past Friday, we're back to more seasonal conditions. We'll see 60s on Saturday and Sunday with some sunshine. And check this out. We're back into the 30s on Monday morning. I'm going to have to dig out my coat.
Wow. Gonna have to dust it off. Elizabeth, thanks. For the first time in history, four former presidents will travel past the moon. Coming up, we'll explain how one company is making it possible.
And here are last night's winning Mega Millions numbers on your screen right now. Our teacher of the week is not a classroom teacher, but she does important work for students at a Wilson County high school. WRL's Brian Schrader introduces us to a staffer who made a big difference in at least one student's life.
When students get in trouble at Bedingfield High School in Wilson, there's a good chance they'll see Letitia Baines. She's the in-school suspension coordinator.
Depending on what they got sent out of class for, we always talk about it, whatever it is.
Baines keeps up with students and helps them get refocused on school.
I just let them know, you know, this is not where you want to be every day, all the time. So now you know what you have to do. So now it's your responsibility to not come back in here.
Last year, Baines saw that a student's glasses were being held together by tape. So she went to Walmart that night where an employee donated new frames for that student.
He just gave me a hug. I said, it's all right. It's all good. They said, I can't believe it.
While Baines is not a classroom teacher, she is serving her students with pride.
I help, or at least try to help as many children as I can.
Letitia Baines is WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
Baines is working to become a guidance counselor. You can look at all of our honored teachers and nominate one you'd like us to recognize by going to WRL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. This morning, North Carolina and Denmark reached an agreement to become partners on an offshore wind energy. Denmark has been a global leader in the clean energy transition. Governor Cooper has set a target to hit 8 gigawatts of energy generated by offshore wind by the year 2040. That's enough to power roughly 2.3 million homes.
Pharmaceutical company Eli Lilly is capping the out-of-pocket cost of insulin at $35. As of May 1st, the company will sell its non-branded insulin to $25 a vial. The current price is $82 a vial. According to the CDC, 37 million adults in the U.S. are diabetic.
Big cuts to SNAP benefits start today for hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians. That's because the extra benefits put in place during the pandemic are officially expiring. Eligible families will be getting on average about $90 less each month.
Going to space is a dream for a lot of people, but for four former presidents, it's about to become a reality, sort of. Celestis is a space burial company. It's taking DNA samples of George Washington, Dwight Eisenhower, John F. Kennedy, and Ronald Reagan on the historic time capsule flight. This Enterprise flight was announced on President's Day and will also include personal messages. This is the first time in history any president has gone to space in any fashion.
Our pet of the day comes to us from Cat Angels Pet Adoptions. This is 4-year-old Chopin, like the composer. Super relaxed, easygoing, and while he isn't a lap cat, he does enjoy lying beside you and he will not shy away from petting. Chopin is very playful and enjoys a good toy that he can chase. He can also be very chatty and will carry on long conversations with you. He's neutered, microchipped, and fully vaccinated. If you'd like to meet him in person, fill out an application on the Cat Angels website at catangelsnc.org.
There is a change that could drastically raise your energy bill. It is in the works and coming up. Which areas could be hit with high bills first and what the change signals for nearby areas.
A lot of cloud cover out there today, so not as pretty of a day as yesterday, but it's still very warm if you like the 70s. Now, tomorrow morning, though, just be prepared. We're going to see a wet morning commute.
Yeah, that's why you should check back with us, certainly, and tune in, because tomorrow morning, right at that rush hour time, is going to be the hot spot for when you need it. And we'll be here for you, no doubt. NBC News Daily is up next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. We hope you have a great Wednesday.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.